With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
All right, ladies and gents, it's that time. Turn up your speakers, strap on a smile. It's the Sims and Lefko Podcast. Here's your host, Adam Lefko and...
Fly, Eagles, fly, fly, Eagles. Philadelphia fans, this is Chris Sims and your host, Adam Lefko. Adam Lefko picked the Dallas Cowboys to go to the Super Bowl. I'd just like to start the podcast off right there. Shoot, shots fired, cross the bow, bam! Wow.
We're going to get to that in a little bit in what truly is a jam-packed 26th episode of the Sims and Lefko Podcast. Sims, so excited to be here. He did the hosting in the beginning. I love it. In about 10, 15 minutes, we're going to have Matt Miller come in. He's been with us all week shooting videos, getting ready for the NFL season. And then in about 30 minutes, we're going to have Sam Monson, who is the senior analyst for Pro Football Focus. And what I'm very excited about having a discussion about how they do all their grading. We've had issues with it in the past. We'll discuss it. But he's got some interesting takeaways that I have right here I will not share with you yet. But before we get into all that, I want to make history. I want to do something right now that no major media organization has done yet, and we're going to put ourselves right out there in the forefront.
Let's do it.
Josh, in 2016, there will be a major presidential race. And as you see all the time, whether it's the New York Times, all right, turn that down a little bit, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, they will all endorse a candidate. And I thought, what a beautiful idea. That here at the Sims and Lefko podcast, we get them one step ahead and we endorse a candidate. I'm ready, and I believe that I speak for all of us. This is not a candidate that speaks from the hip. This is not a candidate that is doing the old guard. It is truly a change. It is not a man. Guess what?
I look back at the Trump Tower behind
no,
me.
No, no, no. It is also not a woman.
Right.
This person transcends everything that is safe.
Oh, gosh.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
Sounds like it's Jenner something. Caitlin, Bruce, I don't know.
No.
Okay.
What?
You said no man, no woman. I don't know. I don't know what to say. What? Go ahead.
Who do you think I'm going to pick?
I just guessed. I thought it was Caitlin Jenner.
No. The answer is D's Nuts. Yes. Indeed, D's Nuts is a candidate for presidency next year. You have no idea about this, huh?
I have none.
I told you he wouldn't fall for the D's Nuts and say who, but here's the deal. Apparently, in Wallingford, Iowa, the Daily Beast reported that D's Nuts, a 15-year-old named Brady Olson, registered D's Nuts as a candidate, and in polling is actually up to 9% of the polls.
Woo!
Hillary Clinton is at 38%. Donald Trump is at 40%. D's Nuts is coming in at third ahead of all the other candidates at 9%.
D's Nuts is very versatile.
Right. When asked in a poll, do you have a favorable or unfavorable opinion of D's Nuts?
Right.
Favorable, 6%. Unsure, 81%. I think we're all unsure about D's Nuts, but I know here at the Sims and Lefko podcast, I am going out on a limb. We stand for D's Nuts. Would you agree? Are you going to support D's Nuts?
I am, yes. I love D's Nuts.
There's a look of confusion on Chris's face during that monologue.
I don't know if this is real, what the heck we're doing.
No, that's a real thing.
That's crazy.
But
I love the game D's Nuts. I mean, that's awesome.
Oh. You know? All right, here, you know what, really quick. So that's a big football thing. When you first got here to Bleacher Report, I mean, all we did was just try and D's Nuts everybody. And the way in which the game is played, you try and get someone to say who. So it's, hey, you won't believe who was talking trash about you. Who? D's Nuts.
Right, exactly.
And it's actually from the original Chronic album of Dr. Dre.
Right.
But, you played this all the
NFL
time.
NFL locker rooms. On the sidelines during NFL games, I would have players come up to me. You know, like, we had a fullback, Gerald Sowell. You remember Gerald Sowell?
Yes.
Gerald Sowell. He played for the New York Jets for a little time. He was the master.
Really?
He was the master. And of course, I considered myself the master, and I was. Until he came to the Tampa Bay Bucks, but he took it one step up. Like, we would be in the middle of a game, and he'd be like, "Man, old boy said he's got a stronger arm than you." And I'd be like, "Who?" You know, so he always got you personal.
But would he actually say it, or would he just look at you?
He would just look at me.
He had,
you know, these big white eyes, and he was such a good dude, a big smile, and he would just look at me and go. And I just go, gosh, get away from me. I'm trying to learn Gruden's offense.
I'm telling you, my dad and my mom would try and D's Nuts because you would play it in the game office all the time.
Right.
And my dad would be like, so D's balls. And I was like, no, it's D's Nuts. By the way, my dad let me know that he's ready to make a prediction with you. I guess Eagles, Giants, a bet.
Cool.
We'll talk about
in
the future.
We'll call Bruce next week on the
podcast. Did you tell your father that you picked the Cowboys to go to the Super Bowl?
I haven't had the chance to break it to him. We're going to get to our Super Bowl picks in a second. I actually told there's a doorman in our building here at Bleacher Report.
That's why I brought it up.
That's a huge Cowboys fan.
He knows.
Did he mention it to you?
Yeah, I always talk to him in the morning.
Oh,
on the
he's
way
great.
In here. Yes.
And I walked in today, and he knows I'm an Eagles fan, and we bust each other's balls all the time. And I said, so guess who I picked for the Super Bowl? He goes, Eagles. I go, I picked the Cowboys. And he goes, shut up. And I go, yeah, man.
You know your boy picked.
I'm not falling. You almost had me for a second. Before we keep going, look, we're going to get political. I'm curious. What are your thoughts on the fact that Donald Trump is a favorite right now for the presidency? I'm just curious, the Chris Sims Donald Trump opinion.
Well, yeah, I'm not a political person, so let's just start there. I mean, I'm not one that's paying attention to the daily polls and what's going on, really. I've found him actually quite entertaining and a little bit refreshing at some points with some of the honesty.
Okay.
Now, I know there's been some shenanigans and some crap that I've been like, oh my gosh, is this guy really running for president? But there is a part of me sometimes that I go, man, you know, maybe like he has been a successful businessman. Maybe our country could use somebody like that, but I don't think he's politically correct enough, and I don't think he can stand a chance.
It's not about him being politically correct enough. He is a reality show honk who's been bankrupt before and is a complete loser. I will agree with you that a lot – I can't believe we're having this discussion, but I love it. A lot of these debates are them reading off cue cards, and he is forcing all of the media practices of all these political candidates to completely change.
Right.
But the fact that he is even a viable candidate in some people's minds,
it's crazy,
really scares me in terms of the world's view of our country.
Right.
That's all I want to say.
Yeah, cool.
Because I think he's an idiot.
Yeah, well, I think he is in a lot of ways, but he also is a good businessman. You guys say that at the
end
of the day.
He is the definition of what is, my mind, the worst phrase in the human language, which is just being honest. How many assholes have you met in your life that are like, I mean, you could lose some weight just being honest. It's not, it's like being like, hey, I don't want to offend you, but you can't talk like that.
What's crazy, too, and I think Josh and
he's
I.
He's like a talk radio
producer
host.
When he's talked about the wall around Mexico or whatever.
Oh, John Harbaugh's a great one.
That's what I mean. John Harbaugh said it. I can't believe that didn't get more attention, national media attention. I'm surprised the NFL. I bet you the NFL sent him a letter and said, shut up, John.
Hey, shut up. Yeah, look, if you want to talk politics, hit us up on the Twitter account.
We could
at
start
Simpson Lefko.
A separate politics podcast.
Look, you know what? When the presidential election's going forward, we're just going to keep it real.
Well, we'll try to get D's Nuts in here for a little interview. And,
dude,
you know,
we need to reach out to Brady Olsen.
I can do that.
He is going to be, this kid is going to be a celebrity. I feel he's going to be on all these
shows.
Let's
get on him early.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Real quick, let's do a little bit of news and notes before we bring in Miller. Kelvin Benjamin tore an ACL, out for the season.
Yep.
You actually don't think it's going to be as detrimental as many other people do.
Yeah, well, I know it's going to hurt. He's a good player. I think the area that hurts the most is like we saw last year, you know, red zone, one-on-one. He's, of course, so big.
Yes.
You could just throw it up to him. But no, I don't think they're an offense that's like, oh, man, we need our number one receiver. We're going to scheme all these different concepts and plays. That's just not the way they play football. So,
yeah
I'm not totally panicked by it. They do have a little bit lesser version of a Devin Funchess. Devin Funchess is a lesser version of Calvin Benjamin, excuse me. Also, you know, guys like Jared Boykin, they flashed 2 years ago up in Green Bay. I mean, I think he had over like 600 yards receiving that year. So he's a guy, they can hold down the fort without big time receivers. We've seen that.
Here's the
And Greg Olsen is there, and he's their number one target.
Here's
like the
Adam Lefkoe take. The most detrimental thing it does for me is the media's evaluation of Cam Newton, because it's yet another year where he doesn't either have weapons and offensive line. Like, it's another year of us going, well, if only he had Kelvin Benjamin.
Right.
And I think, look, he got the contract, and we know how talented he is. I just don't want any more excuses. Moving on really quick.
I think
quick.
You made a good point, too, though, about the depth of the running back. That's something that scares me in Carolina.
All they have is Jonathan Stewart, and when has he ever played a full season?
That's a little scary.
And they lose. The D'Angelo Williams goes to Pittsburgh.
Right.
Other news and note that I thought was very interesting. Eli Manning comes out after the report says that he wants to be paid the highest the salary for all the quarterbacks. And
right.
We got into what happened with RG3 as well. My favorite quote that Eli made, which is to me the ultimate diss on anyone in the media, he said, quote, someone is trying to make a name for himself. And the reason it's the ultimate diss to the media is, one, you don't say him by name.
Right.
Two, it says you're trying to make a name for yourself, which means you're not a name. And three, it means that, like, you haven't gotten there yet.
Well, and I think the thing, too,
and it was Ian Rappaport of the NFL, and I'm
right.
sure he had sources.
Right, and that's the thing, I think, where
you thought Archie had a hand in this.
Well, I think Archie is, you know, Archie's very, you know, as far as politically aware, as far as the NFL is concerned, he does
yes.
not want his sons to seem greedy and anything like that, which I understand. But I think, you know, whoever reported it, Ian Rappaport, you know, just because...
Who is a good guy?
He is a good guy. I know him very well. But just because Eli says he didn't say it and he never told his agent didn't mean Tom Condon didn't ask the Giants to be the highest paid quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's what your agent's supposed to do.
Exactly right. But and at the same time, I am one... Eli should not be the highest paid quarterback in football. I truly do believe that. Eli, I would say... I don't know if he should be paid, and I'm a Giants fan, and you guys know I support Eli. He's the greatest quarterback in Giants history. I don't think he's as good as Phillip Rivers or Ben Roethlisberger at this point in his career.
The two guys that were taken in the same draft.
Same draft and also just got new deals, right? Mm. So both of them got new deals. So I think he's a step below there. And we talk about this all the time. We have it's an epidemic in this country. We like to pay our athletes for what they have done instead
yes.
of what they're going to do.
Yes.
And I think, of course, Eli, Roethlisberger, Rivers, they're all coming towards the end. And I think Eli physically is closer to the end than Ben or Rivers.
Perfect. You know what I'd like right now, Fendrick? Can I get some of that monumental Patriot music that I declined?
I can, yeah.
Because what we are doing is welcoming someone in person. It is his second time on the Sims and Lefkoe podcast. I believe you are the second person ever to be a return guest behind only Phil Sims.
Oh, that's right. We had Big Phil twice.
So this is an incredible, monumental occasion. I'd like to welcome into the Sims and Lefkoe podcast...
Matt Miller, NFL lead analyst for Bleacher Report. Matt Miller, how are you?
I'm doing great. Me and Big Phil. That's
yeah.
great company.
It is good company.
I would say right now, in terms of the Sims and Lefkoe guest Mount Rushmore, you're currently up there. The difference is with our Mount Rushmore, we can blow you up and take you off, so you better bring the heat.
Right. I don't know that I can rank up there. Felder's got to be on there.
Felder will be up there eventually. He'll get there.
Yes.
I can think of who isn't on there better than I can think of who's
Felder
on there.
Was Felder a two-time guest?
No, just a one.
Just a one-time guest. He's
right.
not on the Mount Rushmore
right.
yet. We have two faces on the Mount Rushmore.
We're getting there.
So we just did... so many videos the last few days, us three, doing a lot of predictions, because you already put my Super Bowl team on blast.
Right.
I am putting the two teams in the Super Bowl. Can't believe I'm saying this. A Patriots get back and Cowboys, and I think it's going to be a Patriots repeat. I know it's very unlikely, so much so that, Sims, get this. After that video came out, I had someone hit me up on Twitter, and I will read it for you, and it said... Wow, you are such a Patriots homer. It's actually ridiculous. Way to be professional with your job, bud. Would love to hear your logic. No cheater for four games and zero defense. Well done, Lefkoe. And I responded with, wait, you're kidding me, right? You're going to call me a homer. And then when I said, listen, I think they have a very good front seven. They have Brady. They have Belichick. And I think Gronk and Edelman are great.
Yeah, the cheater is going to be playing.
He responded with, you mean Belichick? And that's when I was like, I can't do this anymore.
No.
So I'm going Patriots, Cowboys. Can't believe I'm saying Cowboys, but what I saw at Cowboys is very impressive. Miller, who are your Super Bowl teams?
Yeah, I'm going the other way. I love the Patriots. I am a Patriots homer, but I didn't pick them this year. I think it's too hard to get back. So I went Green Bay Packers coming out of the NFC and Baltimore Ravens out of the AFC, and I picked the Ravens to win it. I think they have – the right combination of that defensive line with Brandon Williams, C.J. Mosley at linebacker, Jimmy Smith at corner. They have it all. And I'm not the biggest Flacco fan. I don't want to talk about if he's elite
he's
or not. But he is. He's fantastic, especially in the postseason.
Yeah, go watch that Patriots game and tell me that Joe Flacco's not a top 10 quarterback.
Agreed.
You know what that video does? It punches you in the face.
Well, he's
you know, hold on. You know who thought Joe Flacco – who knew who actually thought Joe Flacco paid poorly in that game?
Who's that?
D's nuts. Yes. 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 Yes.
Welcome to the show. You're officially on the Rushmore now.
And you had the same teams in your Super Bowl.
I did, yep. I picked those same two teams. I had to make that pick the day after the Super Bowl this year, and I'm gonna hang in there with it. I do believe Green Bay's offensive line is one of the five best offensive lines in football. They got Eddie Lacy. They got the best player in football in Aaron Rodgers. Receivers, I do got questions about that D-line.
Yeah.
And they got some young pieces in the secondary, which are going to be interesting. But I do think they'll overcome that. And like Miller said with Baltimore, I'm right on par with everything he said. I mean, offensive line certainly in the top echelons of in the league as far as that's concerned. Same with the defensive line. And I just the only question I have, I guess, about Baltimore is Steve Smith, he is getting up there.
Yep.
Is there what receiver, who else is going to contribute to the passing game a little bit? And then, of course, the secondary. I mean, the secondary was a weak spot last year. To me, even looking at the roster now, they're toting that fine line of one or two injuries, and we're going to see, Tom Brady throw 800 hitch routes again because they're bad corners.
Yeah, without Jimmy Smith in that game, I mean, there were nothing.
Yes, so, you're exactly
that
right.
That was tough.
Right.
So I actually I went through Game Pass and was watching a bunch of preseason games last night, and I went to watch Baltimore and Green Bay to kind of get a feel because I do have questions about both. This is my very Lefko scouting report of those two
teams. Okay, I like it.
Ravens O-line and D-line is going to be fantastic.
Right.
They just pushed the Saints all over the field. Now, the Saints, I don't think, are a great barometer, and, of course, it's preseason.
Right.
Carl Davis had a really impressive-looking game, and it's just yet another player that's added to that Ravens front four that's going to be serious. Max Williams was a guy that did not shine until later in the game when a bunch of the subs were in, but he had a play on 4th-and-20 at the end of the game with the game on the line, tried to leap over a guy and then knocked a dude over. They need that from the tight end position.
Yes.
I think Baltimore will be fine, and I think they're going to be really good. Green Bay, Devontae Adams is a beast.
He is.
Oh,
beast.
They are so excited.
And people
him.
Forget about him and the fact that they also have Jordy Randall, and I think that Ty Montgomery is one heck of a fourth wide receiver.
Yes, he is.
I think there's a lot of potential there. Their O-line is freaking incredible.
Yep.
And when you watch Lacy run and then you take in those wide receivers, that's why they're a Super Bowl pick.
Exactly.
I completely get it. My only thing is, Clinton Dix still does not know how to tackle. He still does not know how to take angles to the football.
Right.
And I think their defense is going to have trouble stopping the run.
Sims, over the last year, how much has Lefko improved as a football analyst?
Well, I think
this week he's really gone a little crazy.
He's starting to figure out what to look for a little bit. And yeah, he's coachable. He really is.
I like to learn.
I've just been over at Bleacher Report for over a year, and I would say listening to you talk about football from the day I met him last August to now.
Yeah, that was about as good a scouting report as he's ever thrown out
there.
That's great.
That was strong.
All right. Well, let me give you some more then.
But
I do
agree with a lot of those. And yeah, I am with you. I mean, Clinton Dix was not overly impressive to me as a rookie.
For me,
it scares me a little. It scares me also thinking about Landon Collins a little bit. I like Landon Collins coming on the draft. I know you did too. But those Alabama guys, it's just sometimes they're maxed out already.
For Nick Saban being such a great defensive backs coach, his defensive backs just don't produce the
NFL.
Well,
this is what Sims has always said. Yeah. He says that they get coached so well to all their potential in college that you expect them to take another step.
Yeah.
But that might have been the best coaching they're ever going to get.
They're stepped out. They've maxed out on their potential, you can come out with Marcus Peters from this year. He probably hasn't been coached a whole lot. And most of the time from the film I watched, they were like, just go over there and cover him man to man.
Yes.
And so he didn't really use technique, anything like that. Now he's going to get coached up. Can he take that next step? Those are the guys I think you always see make that jump.
All right, I'm going to do a little thing called Lefko Scouting. I'm going to keep going with little points that I think are good.
Right.
When I miss one is when I'm going to stop. First point, Malcolm Brown, pretty good.
Right.
Not enough pressure, though, on third down.
Right.
But he's also playing the Green Bay Packers offensive line.
Green Bay offensive line. And you always got to just be a little wary of New England. They have a lot of rules in their defense. Sometimes, especially whether it's run game, if he's two-gapping people.
He never lost, though.
He doesn't lose
never
a lot.
Never gets pushed back.
But you can't always attack on the New England D-line. Sometimes he just wants guys to stalemate and then read the play from there.
I texted you Jamie Collins is incredible. I also saw a little spark from Trey Flowers. out of Arkansas.
They like Trey.
I think could be a good pass rusher.
Right.
In terms of – I also watched Saints-Ravens, which I said – Brandon Cooks is back.
Yes, he is.
Back. And I think that the Saints, even though their offensive line is pretty good, Cooks, C.J. Spiller, Kyrie Robinson, and Mark Ingram, Sean Payton can get really creative. Andrews Pete started with, like, Garrett Grayson, third-string offensive line.
Right.
Started at right tackle, moved to left tackle.
Right.
Great feet when they pull him. Oh, my gosh. He's a dancing bear.
He is. He's got great feet.
I'm doing well right now. I'm feeling really good.
Yeah, I don't know. Did he play any guard in the game? I don't think
no,
he played any guard.
No, he only
guard,
played right tackle and left tackle.
He's been practicing some at guard, too.
Haoli Kikaha is going to be – a lot is going to be put on him next year. He's big. He's fast. He lines up on the strong side, and I like him a lot. And
well, he would have been a first-rounder if he doesn't have two ACL tears.
Right. I mean, you have that much production as he had, and he flashed so well at the Senior Bowl. Yes. He was the best linebacker at the Senior Bowl.
He has all the size, speed, weight measurables.
But the Saints could have the worst rush defense in the NFL next year.
They could. That's why
– When you're relying on, like, 13-year vet Kevin Williams in the middle
– Well, that's why you heard me say the name John Jenkins the other day, the kid out of Georgia. He's maybe he's going to be their run stopper. He's a guy that I don't think they've played enough the last two years, and I know they like him, and I was always like, well, they like him, but – here they are just getting gashed in the run game. Put him in there. I do think he's a guy. Watch out for him this year. He might make a difference for them.
I felt really good. I felt really
pretty good. Their big thing, too, is the Saints, of course, and I'm picking them to win the NFC South. I have so much faith in Sean Payton. And I have faith in the fact that Sean Payton's probably rid Rob Ryan so hard in the offseason that Rob Ryan will get his crap together a little
bit. He looks so stressed out,
Ryan. I'm sure.
Game.
Yes, because Sean is one of the few coaches in football that can probably go back and forth a little bit as far as offensive game plan, defensive game plan. There's not many guys, really only two that I've ever known that can do it on a consistent basis, Bill Belichick and Mike Shanahan. I think if
you're not
going to
put Parcells in there at all?
No, Parcells stuck his 2 cents in, definitely on both sides of the ball, but like what Bill and Shanahan did was like literally like coach both sides of the ball to a degree.
It's so funny that we can have a whole conversation about defensive coaches becoming head coaches and being like, oh, no, I'm just going to let the offensive coordinator do it.
It drives me crazy.
We have Miller here. Miller is, I think, one of the top draft guys in the game. You've been doing it now for a few years, and I think you've been very accurate and sticking to it. I did a video with him today where we're looking at the top draft prospects. Right now on your board, you have a linebacker. Break it down.
Yeah, let me hear that. I don't even know your board. I haven't seen it or anything.
Yeah,
so.
I have a linebacker, Jalen Smith from Notre Dame.
Okay.
You'll see him, and we'll talk a lot about him.
I've heard about him a little
number
bit.
Number nine.
There's a little Khalil Mack there.
Okay.
There really is, because he's played outside. He's played inside. He covers slot receivers.
Right.
He'll get tackles for a loss.
What size are we talking about, generally?
6'3", 235.
Okay.
So he looks like Patrick Willis.
Right, exactly.
And moves like him. Just so fluid. And I know that because he is the top player from some of the maybe what more well-recognized draft people out there,
it's
going to be a lot of people trying to take shots at him all year.
Right.
You know, he's not very good, but I think he's special.
One thing I like about Notre Dame guys, first of all, he recruits men there. They get men. They're a little bit like an SEC team. They get big D linemen.
Yes.
They have a lot of 3-4 principals, and they're going to be coached like pros. That's the best thing about these Notre Dame
kids. Now, here's
the
thing. Looking at Miller's top 10, here's what's interesting. You have the tackle from Notre Dame.
Yeah, Ronnie Stanley.
Ronnie Stanley's there. You have Joey Bosa, the defensive lineman. You obviously have the quarterbacks. But what's interesting about him having Jalen Smith at number one, it gets the discussion, can a linebacker like that, that's not an edge pass rusher, ever go number one? And I'm curious what your thoughts are.
I don't think so. I don't think they'll be quite. I don't think any team's going to look at it and go, oh, the value's there for me to take him at number one.
But when you see a Keekly and when you see a Patrick Willis, isn't it kind of worth it? Because it's crazy when you look at where those guys get drafted.
But this guy, we're not sure what he is quite yet,
not
right?
Yet.
That's the big thing. Where like Keekly and Willis, you knew they were middle linebackers. That's what they were. That's what they did. You got enough visual evidence. It's like I tell you all the time. What scares guys like a Khalil Mack at times, even though everyone was pretty comfortable with everything he did, it's just like, what is he? We haven't seen enough visual evidence. And I always tell you how conservative coaches are in the NFL. They need to see tons of visual evidence before they can feel comfortable.
But I'm curious then, why are we more comfortable with the hybrid defensive end outside linebacker and not the outside linebacker inside linebacker?
I think it's because of the pass rush ability. I think that's really all it comes down to. Yeah, it's just such a valuable position.
So,
but I am not as high on those guys. You know, Randy Gregory.
They're scary.
They're a little scary to me.
Why are you?
The boomer bust is bigger.
There is, right.
What makes you so confident then right now in Jalen Smith?
Well, it's a right now thing. Thank God I have 9 months to change changed my mind.
And that's okay. It's okay to change.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. What makes me confident now is I think when I look at top players, they need who has the most elite traits. And I think he does right now. And for me, the number one player on my board might not be the first pick. He might not be the most valuable guy. You know, a few years ago, it was Bridgewater instead of Clowney.
Right.
Last year, it was Jameis Winston. So it's not always... I'm not trying to say who's going to get picked first. I'm trying to say this is going to be the best guy out of this class 3-4 years from now. So it's a little different because, you know, I'm trying to do the job of a GM for the media instead of
I think the hardest thing with the draft coverage is what kind of coverage. Are you predicting the picks? Are you saying who they should take? Or are you doing straight value?
And I think you have to be transparent about that. And it is hard. You know, like if I write a mock draft, it's in the intro. This is what I think will happen, or this is what I'm hearing will happen. But it is, you know, because guys like Mel Kiper, who kind of helped create this industry, he is a funnel for what teams tell him, not as much an evaluator anymore.
Yeah, so, exactly right. That's what drives me a little crazy about Mel, because I can listen to him and I go, he just talked to that team, and he's kind of plagiarizing what they have just told him.
The reason that I think...
I want to ask him a few questions, if you don't mind, just real quick. Like, so give me just any corners in the top 10 or...
We got two. Vernon Hargraves from Florida and then Jalen Ramsey at Florida State. So,
okay.
Yeah, both just super athletic.
Unbelievable. Florida State, secondary guys. Holy cow.
Right. Now, I'm going to tell you what Miller is going to say. Hargraves is your tip. He compares him to Darrell Revis.
Right.
5'11", good corner.
Yeah.
Two-time All-American.
Right. I remember seeing him a little last year.
Really solid.
Right.
Ramsey is the safety slash corner, super physical, 6'1", what they look for.
Right.
In the
NFL. He's like a Terrence Brooks or maybe our P.J. Williams,
you know,
type guy.
He played safety last year because they had P.J. Williams, Ronald Darby.
Yeah. What number was he?
He's number 8.
Number 8. Okay. Yeah.
He played like outside linebacker at times. Huh. I mean, he's just a freak.
Right. Okay, and then the other thing, all right, so I know, of course, Connor Cook. Give me –
hold on, I was going to get to the quarterbacks.
Okay, thank you, go ahead.
I was going to say that – so this year I think was one of the most boring quarterback crops because we knew it was two and then everybody else.
Right.
And I think kind of like halfway through the draft process, we all knew that Winston was a better prospect.
Yeah.
Just in terms of pro player.
Right.
I think this year's quarterback crop is going to be the most interesting, and I think you're going to see guys like Daniel Jeremiah and you and Kiper and McShay completely disagree on who the top quarterback is going to be, because when one of your top prospects is a guy that's played three games, it's going to be wild. So you go through the top quarterbacks. I think it's going to be incredible this year.
It is going to be wild. I have Cardale Jones at number one right now among quarterbacks because
I'm not mad at you.
If he is who he was in those three games, I want it.
Everything's there. I mean, as far as it's just going to – can we see him play consistently well this year? But size, speed, great arm.
That arm, Jesus.
Yes, right.
So Christian Hackenberg, I think, is a top 10 player right now with the potential to go one, the potential to go in the fourth round.
Right.
It all depends on how well he transitions in year two with James Franklin, who – I don't think it's a great quarterback coach for him, but Hackenberg has all the traits that you look for.
Right.
Jared Goff at Cal is going to be an interesting kid because he's going to have the numbers in that air raid.
Right.
But I don't know that he works through reads super well, and he is tall and skinny.
Right.
Very
skinny. I haven't got to watch him a lot, but okay, that's interesting.
And then you mentioned Connor Cook.
Right.
There's a lot to work with there.
Right.
I think his decision making just needs a little bit of work. And then there's a kid at North Dakota, Carson Wentz, and he has a hose. I mean, big, big arm kid. 6'4", can throw it all over the place.
Yeah.
So
I'm interested. The Hackenberg one is the interesting to me because he's not a guy that I watch and I just go, oh, he's a top 15 pick, top 20 pick. He has not jumped out to me, and I haven't studied him.
In
so
what
I don't
way? Is it not the arm strength?
Yeah, the arm does not pop off to me. Like, when I watched Connor Cook last year, the few games I saw of Michigan State, I just said, he's an NFL quarterback. He would have been in the discussion for one of those quarterbacks taken, I think, Mariota in the Winston discussion when it was all said.
Now, you're
not that
high on Connor Cook.
But mine is more like the decision-making and what he does when he's pressured. So he kind of reminds me of Derek Carr in that way. Do you remember, like, Carr's...
Yeah.
Carr's junior year at Fresno, like that
steps
was the
in
thing.
The bucket, kind of fades away from throws.
And Hackenberg,
and pressure.
I think, you know, once Chris is off NFL duty, you can study his freshman year. Well, they unleashed him,
right?
And he showed the arm more.
Right.
I would actually say he throws too many fastballs. Yeah. You know, the underneath stuff. He's got to learn touch.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
So we'll see if he can get there or not.
I'm curious when we watch Cardale Jones this year. Other than just statistics of touchdowns, interceptions, and completion percentage, what do you look for to build on from what you've already seen?
Yeah, well, I think what I would like, the thing I'm going to look for with him is, you know, is he seeing the field? That would be my big question. Like, is he
not
pass-
just going deep all
is
the
he,
time?
Is he going
right.
deep? The easy oh, – those plays are easy to read as a quarterback. Most of the time it's a game plan play. Urban Meyer's told them all week, we're going to run this play, and we're going to hit him over the top with
and
this.
And they did say they simplified the offense for him. It was either deep or Ezekiel Elliott.
Right. So I do. I want to see if he's leaving completions on the field. Because even when I went back and watched, like, Ohio State, Oregon in the national championship
Alabama.
Game. Alabama. There was some completions that he left on the field that I thought were like, oh, wow, why didn't he see that? But he took off and run and made up for it. And he didn't make bad decisions when he didn't throw to the open guy. That was the thing I liked. But, yeah, I think that's the big thing. He hasn't got to play the position a whole lot, and that's not easy to overcome. You got to get those reps on the field. Like I always tell you, different animal when you're in a real game as compared. I don't care how much you practice. Until they're coming off the edge and about to bust your head, that's just something you can't prepare for.
Which position is going to be the weakest in this year's NFL draft? Just from what you're looking at right now.
It might be quarterback. There's a lot of guys, but like we talked about this morning. Right now,
none of them are locks.
There's no locks. Right. So quarterback could be, it's funny, in the summer, 15 quarterbacks always get hyped and two of them end up good. Mm. So the summer's a dangerous time to evaluate quarterbacks because everybody wants one.
Yeah, and everybody wants their program to have that quarterback because it gives them the notoriety. Oh, we're developing NFL quarterbacks here. Yeah.
I'll also say this. I did a lot of college football videos last week, and I did 8 different videos of SEC quarterback battles.
Oh, they're awful.
Which is, look, there's not always a lot of great quarterbacks that come out of the SEC, but it just shows you the uncertainty of a lot of these guys. How is the running backs looking?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to ask you.
They look great, especially if you like big backs, Eddie Lacy type guys. Ezekiel Elliott, obviously, is special.
Love him.
James
Love
Connor
him.
At Pitt is a bowling ball.
I have not seen him.
Over.
Okay.
Isn't it crazy that Pitt gets recruits like Larry Fitzgerald, LeSean McCoy?
They always do.
You got the two kids at Alabama.
Derrick Henry.
Lots to like there. So there's a lot of good running backs. Devontae Booker at Utah. And there's just – we could go on and on.
Is Fournette a junior this year or a sophomore?
Sophomore. Man. Yeah. So eventually.
Because he's a guy that just – I like the rule as far as making, guys go to school for 3 years. But Leonard Fournette's one of those guys that, debunks the system right. where I go, he's a grown man ready to go right now. Like, he's taking unnecessary hits in college. They should just
for
let
free.
Him go to the
or
NFL.
For free.
For free.
Yeah.
Except for those $100 handshakes. Bam.
Us Texas fans were cringing after you said that. Sims, come on.
Well. Yeah, the good thing is we straightened it out with Charlie.
I texted Charlie and I said
Charlie understands what I was saying. I was saying it's so stupid that people even think that's a big deal because it's going on everywhere. You go to any school, I don't care if you go to Rutgers or you go to Texas or you go to Notre Dame, they're all getting $100 handshakes.
Yes. Now, you mentioned system before, and I think I'd like to use that transition to welcome in a bright mind that is emerging on the NFL scene like a rocket. Sam Monson, PFF senior analyst. PFF is Pro Football Focus. Dude, you guys are killing it right now. For people that do not know, and I'm excited for them to hear your accent, tell them what exactly Pro Football Focus is and what your mission statement is.
That was a beautiful intro, first
Thank
and
you.
Foremost. I love it.
Almost as beautiful as your voice, Sam.
There you go. Gotta love the Irish accent.
Yes.
Pro Football Focus grades, watches every single play of every single NFL and now NCAA FBS game. Every single player, every single play, grades, takes down a bunch of unique statistics, and has more data on football than pretty much anywhere else on the planet.
What's been incredible to watch is watch every form of media adopt it almost immediately. And I think the one thing that you guys did that has changed the game is great offensive linemen. Because for the longest time, people that don't know how to watch film, myself included, would go, I don't know if the left guard is good, and I don't know whose problem was with the sack there.
Right.
How did you guys come up with the idea, and then how has it grown so fast?
Yeah, and Neil Hornsby is the guy that set up the site, and he was just a football fan in the UK who, was getting tired of watching games and listening to somebody in the commentary saying, this guy's one of the best in the NFL, Same thing, offensive lineman, really. And he said, let's start keeping track of this stuff. Let's start going through and just go plus, minus, and see who's doing well, who's doing badly over the course of a game. And,
sure.
That was the genesis of the idea, was just try and put something down on paper rather than just guesswork, which is what everybody was going for. And then it developed. The system became more sophisticated. It was more nuanced, not just a plus and a minus.
What was the first moment when you went, holy crap, people are actually listening to our opinions right now?
I don't know if there was a first moment, but for those first couple of years, we would be it was very few people using it, but every now and again we'd get a beat writer, and he'd quote us, or he'd use a stat, and you know, then it would go from beat writers, you know, then we get a national guy, and that was big news. And
yeah.
Then, you know, we used to start keeping track of it on Google. You know, we just start Googling Pro Football Focus and see where we were coming up. And,
yeah.
You know, it was big news every time we appeared somewhere, and then we just eventually stopped paying attention because it was everywhere.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, Chris Collinsworth just bought the company?
Yeah.
Or is he an investor in it?
He's a major investor. He bought
it. I think it's so big for you guys because I think Chris has become a figurehead in the game in terms of really studying film, and I think the marriage is great. You guys are now partnering with us as well, and I think what you said is like how Bleacher Report started. I know Finocchio was kind of there, and he's like, man, I'm reading these stories about Notre Dame basketball, and that's not what's happening. I want real information. So I think that's why it's a perfect marriage. And you have some stuff right now. Well, really quick, before we get into this, Pro Football Focus, it's an interesting debate, I think, in football circles, because it was like, well, where are these grades coming from? And then, like, a lot of old heads in football, like someone
like Sims.
Yeah,
that was my question, yeah. Because every now and then I would see an offensive lineman, and, you know, I would go, oh, man, he played really horrible. And I'm not trying to take a knock on anybody at BFF. Trust me, there's a lot of NFL coaches who grade guys, and I go back in the game and go, well, I don't know what that coach was looking at. He stunk. But, I mean, there was a few instances we had offensive linemen where I was just like, hey, he didn't play very well, and we'd have somebody off. Well, PFF said he played really well, and I said, really? Come here, and let me just show you these few plays. I know there's new management, so I can say that now. But, that was my concern, exactly, is who is evaluating the film, what is their background as far as football is concerned, and I feel a lot more warm and cozy knowing that Collinsworth is running it now, because I do think he'll be very aware of who is doing those breakdowns.
I think what makes me so cozy is I watch you and the way you do your work, and I can see that.
Yeah, he's the real deal. He showed me a few things yesterday. I was hungry, and I kind of was just like, that looks cool, but I got to go eat. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And I'm not totally into the numbers yet because the real season hasn't started and everything like that. But I do know it's going
to
help me.
So here's the thing that I want to ask you. When I go to – like, I'll talk to athletes, and they'll go, oh, Bleacher Report? Oh, man, you guys wrote that shit about me, man. Like, fuck you. And I'm like, no, like, actually, like, Bleacher Report, we just take stuff from everywhere.
That was two swears.
Not always, yeah, it was two swears. We take stuff from everywhere. It's not us. What is the number one insult that Pro Football Focus gets? And then what is your typical response that you hit them with?
The number one thing we always get is somebody says, you know, we'll say something that goes against what everyone else is thinking. And the response to that is, oh, that's so bad. You just lost all credibility. The amount of times we've lost all of our credibility.
Right.
You know, we don't even know where to look for it anymore. It's gone. Years ago.
If you find yours, see if mine is there too, because
right.
I need it back.
Now, producer Josh made sure that Sam came in with some of those ideas that go against the grain.
Cool.
I'm going to let Sam present them, and then I want Sims and Miller's take on what he's saying. First one, some cornerback stuff.
Yeah, so the debate, you know, the best cornerback in the NFL debate comes up every offseason.
Yes, it does.
Everyone's bored in June, nothing's happening, no football's being played.
Right.
So we start looking through numbers, and the cornerback thing comes up. And it's always Richard Sherman, Darrell Revis. Which guy do you like? Maybe a Patrick Peterson sneaks in there. But the two guys that never sneak in there that should right now are Vontae Davis and Chris Harris from the Denver Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
And we had both those guys in the top 10 of our PFF 101 this offseason. And Harris didn't even make the NFL's 100 anywhere.
Which is nobody in the secondary for Denver made the top 100. That's why they can't let the players vote. Yeah.
Not even Aqib Talib.
Nobody. No TJ Ward. Nobody
Harris
in the secondary.
Is better than Talib.
Wow.
I would say Harris was better than Talib last year.
So you're saying that Chris Harris Jr. and Vontae Davis should be in the discussion for top cornerback in the NFL.
Absolutely. They're right up there with Darrell Revis and with Richard Sherman. And those, if you look at the numbers, the tape, the grading that those guys are producing, it's insane.
Mm.
My favorite number or set of numbers for Vontae Davis is he's played Peyton Manning three times in the last couple of years.
Right.
And the numbers against Manning are absolutely ridiculous. He hasn't given up a pass longer than 10 yards to Peyton Manning in those three games.
So to debunk that, though, Peyton can barely throw it 10 yards. So that would just be my
– So maybe not the best number.
And even just this is just food for thought. I hope we can't get – I'm not trying to get personal, but just my thing with Chris Harris Jr. too. Okay, Chris Harris Jr., he's a really good player. I know that, and I know he's being graded properly. But to argue that, I would say Aqib Talib was probably covering the top receiver all the time, so his statistics were going to look a little worse. Vontae Davis, on the other hand, I am with you. I know he got injured at some point during the year, but they were a different defense when he played, and he is certainly the best player in their secondary.
And both those guys have got they've got a knock somewhere on them schematically. You know,
yes,
Chris
right.
Harris, it's that he might not track that number one guy. Tlaib will take him.
Right.
With Vontae Davis, it's that he's only ever playing right
yeah,
corner.
The one
he's
side,
only playing
right.
on that side.
Right.
He's not doing what the other guys do.
Right.
And you know, Richard Sherman has the same thing. He only plays one side.
Right.
And but has Earl Thomas.
Yeah, but the Seahawks do bend that defense around him. They'll lean Sherman or
yes,
Earl Thomas
the safeties away.
Away.
Right. Exactly. Right.
The Colts don't do that with Vontae Davis.
Right.
He just plays, you know, bog standard right corner, and they
right.
play their regular defense.
But I love the numbers nonetheless because, yes, it does bring some light to guys that don't get that attention, like Chris Harris Jr. Miller's his number one fan. Miller's a guy that's been telling everybody he's been awesome for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I do love that aspect of it because we do always talk. It's always Joe Hayden, Patrick Peterson, Sherman,
yeah.
you know, and I would say, man, you know, Patrick Peterson after last year is not in that conversation. He's going to have to earn it back
yeah.
to me.
I will say this, too. I always feel like NFL opinions are always a year or two behind where players actually are.
Right.
It's very rare when someone is as good as they're being hyped up to be. I think Vince Wilfork's the perfect example of that. We'll get to that on a different one.
Yeah.
Before we get to your second one, I actually want to do your projection one first because I want to save the second one.
Cool.
You have a big year ahead for Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah, so we're started moving to this new grading system or this new way of presenting our grades to people. You know, we had this plus and minus system, and you know it always confused a lot of people. Some people didn't really like it, so we're moving to this kind of 0 to 100 scale. You know, more intuitive system.
Sure.
People understand it better at a first glance, and we're incorporating a lot more of the data into it. So stuff that we weren't necessarily feeding into the numbers before, but we're in the system, are now in this new system, and it projects Odell Beckham Jr. based on what we've seen from 12 games of him as the best wide receiver in the NFL.
In the NFL, the
in
best
the NFL,
wide receiver.
The best wide receiver.
Over
in football,
Julio, over
I mean,
Antonio,
that's not far-fetched. I got no problem with that comment.
If he gets the targets.
Exactly
yeah.
right. And he's in an offense that really, that's the one thing I love about the West Coast offense. They really know how to form an offense around a guy. They really do.
What do you mean by that?
You know, whether it was Jerry Rice in San Francisco, they're going to make the defense call their bluff on that guy. We're going to make everything for him, and either he's going to catch it, or you're going to have to do a ton of shit to stop him. There's my cuss word. Yes.
And then we'll find
another level. Find something
and John
else.
Taylor's
right.
going to be wide open
right,
on
exactly,
the other side.
Exactly right. Yeah. So the West Coast makes you do that, which I really like.
Odell Beckham Jr.'s numbers in traditional statistics last year were out of control for how many games he played. What did they look like from the Pro Football Focus perspective?
Exactly the same thing. I mean, he was our second graded receiver, I think, over the season, over the entire season, despite
only
playing 12 games.
Yeah.
Right. Who was one?
Antonio Brown.
Yeah, right.
Only guy better than him.
Yeah.
He was unbelievable.
Wouldn't have been if they played a comparable number of games. You
wow.
know? On a per-snap basis, Odell Beckham was miles ahead of anybody else
wow.
in terms of receiving.
Who else was up there, if you remember?
Like guys like Jordy Nelson. I think he's a guy that's always graded slightly better than the general perception of how he's playing.
I think he's great.
He's,
right.
Yeah, he's yeah. legitimately a top elite receiver. Yes.
Random question. Who is a guy that's graded really well on Pro Football Focus that never gets respect from other people?
At receiver or at
any
position?
Any position. What's one that comes
just
to
ones
mind?
That jumps out? Yeah, one that jumps out of you.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys, you know, we tend to get on people ahead of other people.
Yeah.
You know, those guys tend, when they're successful, the NFL catches up eventually. You
right.
know, we were on Evan Mathis really quickly. We were on Geno Atkins really quickly. Mm. We had Richard Sherman before anyone realized that this rookie was actually pretty good. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah.
So guys like that tend to.
You have any right now that you can kind of get out there so people can be more knowledgeable?
What were like Buster Screen? Or his numbers good last year for Cleveland? Do you remember that off the top of your head?
He was okay until they asked him to start.
Yeah.
When he had to move outside
and
play, you know, full-time corner, his numbers went back down the grading. He struggled a bit more. But when he was just a slot guy, when he was just a nickel, he was grading pretty well.
Right.
Sims loves Buster Screen.
We're forgetting about your guy, too.
I'm not going to fall for that. Do you know who he's talking about?
No.
You want to guess?
I wouldn't even know where to start.
Someone told me they saw you the other day. Your friend.
No. Yeah, don't say anything.
We'll get it later. Don't worry about it. All right, last one, because this is very big. So when we were doing the draft last year, I'm going
to
get you, Sam.
I was trying to.
Sorry. When we were doing the draft last year, it was Sim said Clowney could be a future Hall of Famer. And then I would say to Matt Miller's credit, he stuck on Teddy Bridgewater the entire time. He's been deemed the head of the Teddy Bridgewater fan club. I would
self-appointed.
Say, would say that if you were to have another child, his name might be Teddy or Bridgewater. You might go all
or
in.
Or both.
Give me your Bridgewater, your PFF Bridgewater take.
the last five games for Teddy Bridgewater. You know, you look at quarterbacks, and for that rookie season, almost all of them are going to struggle to some degree or other. And what you want to see is an improvement. You want to see them develop. You want to see them end the season with some glimmers of hope, you know?
Right.
And if you look at Bridgewater's season, it's actually a steady improvement. Those first half of the year was pretty rough. The second half was much better. The first group of those games was a little bit better. And then those final games of the season, the five games to finish it, his numbers were astronomical.
Right.
The only quarterback that graded better in pure passing terms for those five games was Aaron Rodgers.
Well,
he actually had a better overall grade than Aaron Rodgers from us over those five games because of some rushing and penalties and that kind of thing.
Right.
But that's the kind of company we're talking about for those five games. Some of the numbers are absolutely ridiculous. Passing under pressure, it's a huge thing. If you look at him, the game started to slow down for him in those final games. You know, when he was flustered earlier in the season, was making some plays that weren't that great, but over those final five games, we started to see him relax. You know,
he's great in the pocket. The kid can play the game. He can play the game. I don't doubt that one bit. I just doubt whether he has that top-end physical talent. But as far as just his natural instincts of the game, yeah, he's impressive. He's really good in the pocket.
Yeah.
He's very good at ad-libbing. Oh, first, second, third receiver's not there. Make a move, shuffle it to the check down, whatever it is. He's got all those moves. You know what? I just question whether he's got that top-tier arm to really be in that discussion with the Rodgers.
What is PFF projecting for him for this upcoming season?
I mean, if that arrow continues on the way up, we're talking about a really top quarterback. Like I say,
like top five?
Well, it's tough to know if that's going to continue.
You
know, if he continues this year the way he ended last year, we're talking about a guy who, like I say, the only guy graded better than him as a passing quarterback was Aaron Rodgers. So
he's going to have a good year. I just don't see how.
Well, when you get Adrian Peterson too, all of a sudden the play action.
Well, they got a good O line. They got Mike Wallace.
Now hold on. Right. How do you feel right now?
I feel good, but I've been wrong enough in my life to know that after five games, I'm not jumping on the table and telling everybody I was right, because it's happened before where a guy has a good year and I'm like, oh, look at me, I know what I'm doing. And
right.
No, I don't know what I'm doing. You have to be patient.
Well, what did you see in the draft process? Is there anything that you didn't even expect out of Teddy that's happening now?
No, because what he did at Louisville, and you were there, you know, he was poised, he was smart, you couldn't rattle him. You know, you remember John Bostic, busts him under the chin, he gets up, and he beats Florida.
Right.
So that was always my thing, was he's so smart. You know, he's like a 3 or 4 year pro, so I think what Sam was saying, you know, and even – I know it's just the preseason, but what we've seen early this year is the game is just slow for him. He always makes the right decision. It's kind of like Russell Wilson without a huge arm.
I'll tell you, the one thing that Teddy has always done well, because I covered him for 3 years at Louisville, when he gets outside the pocket, his touch on that 5 to 10 yards over the linebacker underneath the safety is beautiful, and I'm very interested to see what he does with Adrian Peterson.
Yep.
Is J.J. Watt your number one overall performer? Is that the guy?
For anything, yeah.
Anything?
anything number ever. One best human being on the planet playing football by a distance.
The only reason I bring him up is we had something that I tried to say in a video that got cut out, and I'm curious if Fendrick is going to cut out of the podcast too. You will cut it out.
Yeah.
I was just going to say that we did Joey Bosa, and I said he gets compared to J.J. Watt mainly just because he's white.
Oh, right. I don't get what.
And I said, who do you really compare him to? I didn't realize that was a touchy subject. The draft comparisons of players and the inability
to... The way it always goes. Wide receivers, same way. Oh, he's white. He's the next Wes Welker.
Ed
he's
McCaffrey.
The next Julian Edelman. It's just the way it is. We laugh about it in the NFL locker room.
The black players
laugh at it. I mean, they really do.
Do they really? What do they say?
They laugh. They're always like, oh. You know, because you'll get a scouting report sometimes on Saturday from the scouting department. So you're about to get on the plane, and let's just say you're going to go play the Rams. And anytime it's a good white defensive lineman, I hope we can keep this in there. A good white defensive lineman is always like, 100, you know, motors, so impressive.
Lunch pail.
Yes, 110% every play. And the black guys would be like, you know, why does it always say this? Come on. I mean, the guy's got talent. I mean, even they are like, it's just stupid.
I think Deadspin did something a few years ago, and they went to NFL.com and looked at the scouting reports pre-draft.
Right.
And it was shocking how many cliches were in there.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
The greatest commentary on this, if you go online, Key and Peele did a Super Bowl special in which they went through, and they were like, Max Unger, he is cerebral. He gets it done. Cam Chancellor, he's a beast.
Yeah,
that'll rip your head off.
Right.
And I think the only way we get past that is acknowledge that it's there. Yeah. I think we need to acknowledge that it's. I understand it. People's eyes, you're drawn to it. I completely get it. But let's move past it. Not every great defensive lineman that's white great as J.J. Watt.
Right.
And
not every white slot receiver is Wes Welker.
Yeah. So I had to bring it up because the podcast is a safe space where I think we can have tougher conversations that we might not be able to say in a video.
Yeah, in case you're curious, Joey Bosa and Amari Williams.
Okay, so, I can see that. That looks like a more of a comparison to me than JJ.
All right, we're going to wrap this up in a second. You have a big dinner date tonight. What do you got going
on? Oh, I'm going to Rayo's, the famous Rayo's tonight.
Explain what Rayo's
is. So Rayo's, for all you out there, this is a famous mafia joint from a long, long time ago. I think there's been a few people that have been murdered and shot and killed in there.
Might happen. So allegedly.
Allegedly. It's my kind of place. But this is, of course, famous, and it's up in Harlem, 115th Street on the east side. And basically, you can't get reservations to Rayo's. Rayo's, you could buy this stuff. There's a Rayo's, I think, in Las Vegas and things like that. But you have to – so basically, I am going with Bo Dietl tonight. Bo Dietl is a famous – NYPD investigator.
You may recognize him from the Subway commercials. Right. He's like the investigator that's like, hey, I heard Subway's meat was fresh, so I wanted to go find out for myself.
Exactly, right. Yeah. And that's how he really talks. He's a really funny guy. But he has this table Thursday nights at 7 o'clock, and you have to fill the table. If you don't fill the table and have people there, you will get kicked off. I mean, you're done. Like, you don't get – so he
and
has
you have to pay.
You have to pay a huge amount of money. I mean, it's something like $50,000-$75,000 just
year
to have the table,
or just for life,
for the year, and then that doesn't count. Somebody's got to pay for dinner tonight, so you're paying for the table, and then you have to pay separately for dinner, and it's cash only, and it's one of those kind of yes. So they're doing it right, and it's one of those places. It's like you don't get to order. Just the Italian guy comes out of the kitchen, and he's like, hey, "What do you guys like over here?" And then Bo Dietl will be like, "We don't got any." He's over here, right? Just bring everything out. That's exactly how it'll go.
So what do you like? I know you like Italian food. What are you hoping they bring?
I've eaten some stuff that I've never really eaten there because I'll just be like, man, it looks good. I'll just throw it in my mouth and try it out.
Pause.
I've gone there and literally like woke up the next morning and like food comas. You ever had that? Like, absolutely. Where you're almost you're like, man, am I hungover or did I just eat too much? I don't know what happened.
Meat sweats.
Yes, right. And that will probably happen tonight. It's one of those things. It's my agent, a few other people. They're all my dad. Like, my dad, I bet you, is having, like, his last little food right now. It's, 1 o'clock p.m.
To save up for
it? He's going to make sure he is starving going into Rayo's.
That's amazing.
Did you get an invite?
No. Yeah, I'm not in the – I'm not – this is like – no, this is like a serious
– You're not even – I have been kicked out of this table.
This is a Jersey thing.
They've tried to sneak me up. Oh. So the guy that owns the Rayo's is the guy that used to be in Sopranos. He was the guy that – he was actually like the investigator that was working for the police. I can't remember his name, but he owns Rayo's. So he'll come in. So one time I came in, they were having it. They were like, oh, come on, we'll pull up an extra seat. You can't pull up an extra seat.
Really?
Yeah. So he walked in. I remember seeing him. He kind of looked at the table, and he was like, they got an extra person there. He went over and said something to somebody at the restaurant, and they were like, you know.
And you had to leave?
Somebody's going to have to leave. Yeah, and I left. Yeah.
Was it awkward?
Because I was like, I didn't care. No, I didn't care. I knew I was – I was like a last second. I was in the city.
Yeah.
They all called me. Hey, come over to Rayo's. It doesn't matter. We'll sit you down. Yeah, right. So
God, this sounds awesome.
You should go because you can go to the bar and sit there. That's
what you
should do.
It sounds like a private seat. Oh, I don't need like a you know, the do bar? I have to put like $15,000 up to sit at the bar?
No, the bar is open. It's not a big bar. So you might go there and you might go, okay, the bar's full. I'll
how
come back in an
how
hour.
How awkward would it be if you guys were eating dinner and I was just sitting over like listening to the conversation? You'd be like,
waving.
ask your dad about this.
But you do need to try it at one point.
Yeah, I mean,
It's not. I don't think it's crazy expensive. I don't think it's like where you're going to be like at the prices and go, oh my gosh, you know, $50.
I have a corporate card, so we'll don't worry
about
that.
Charge it to
Uncle Ted.
Uncle Ted.
Sam, you know who you look like?
No. You?
I do.
Anywhere?
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
Is it going to upset me?
What's his spirit animal?
Oh, what did you? You said
I
he was
said
a kangaroo.
Kangaroo. Right.
I said that
because I thought his accent was Australian first. I couldn't really hear him.
It's close.
But now you're
I'll
Irish.
Explain to you why I keep doing this after the show. It's a D's nuts thing. Miller's a koala. You're a tiger, and I'm an elephant.
Siberian tiger. Make
excuse
sure you get
me.
That right.
And what was Fendrick? What did you say your spirit animal was?
A hen.
Of course.
A mother hen.
A mother hen.
It has to be a mother hen. It can't just be a hen. It has to have little chickies next to it, like little yellow
little
chickies. Yeah, that's what he is.
Come on, guys. We got to go shoot videos. Come on, babies. Let's eat the food.
This Saturday, I'm actually going to the Eagles preseason game with my dad.
Cool.
To see the Ravens.
Wear your Cowboys jersey.
All right, give me the music. I'm so happy, Sam. Thank you for coming in. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Matt Miller, great to have you in person.
Yeah, likewise. It was fun, guys.
Welcome to the Mount Rushmore of Sims and Lefko.
Fly, Eagles, fly. Go, Cowboys, go.
Okay, you're the worst. 26th episode of Sims and Lefko is in the books. We are now, what, T-minus 3 weeks until video? Sims has been doing extra push-ups to look better on video, but it's not working. Looking a little bit rough. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we will see you for episode 27. For Sims.
Peace out.
For Fendi.
Adios.
I am Lefko. Have a good day, everybody.